afternoon, America. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Mark Levine giving you the inside scoop from Washington, D.C., reporting live from the Center for American Progress. And I got a real serious topic here. Now, you know, I've dealt with serious topics in the past. We've talked about the thousands of unaccompanied minors coming to our borders. We've talked about the difficult foreign policy situations, everything from Ukraine to Israel and Gaza to ISIS in Iraq and Syria, really difficult questions. We've talked about gun regulation on this show and the racism in Ferguson. We've talked about the economy. We've had detailed discussions, wonky discussions about the Federal Reserve System. So you know, when it comes to difficult and serious topics, just tune in to me and I'm happy to discuss them with you. And now I have a topic that truly affects us all, something that virtually everyone in America knows about, complains about, deals with all the time. It's a conflict that separates two different kinds of people based entirely on elements beyond their control. It's a conflict against corporations, a conflict of interpersonal relationships, a conflict that even has led to disruption in our air traffic. I'm talking, of course, about the airline reclining seat wars. By now, you know what happened on the United flight from Newark to Denver. A man in middle seat 11B, wanting to use his laptop computer, had bought a little plastic contraption called the Knee Defender. And this plastic contraption, apparently, when you place it on your seat, your laptop table, your seat back table, prevents the person in front of you from reclining. The woman in front of this man did not take too kindly to her right to recline being taken away. It was a God-given right. I think it's in the Declaration of Independence. I will have to check. It may be part of the Bill of Rights. The right to recline has been around for decades. It is a right cherished by those of us, virtually all of us, who are in very, very tiny airport seats. And she insisted on her right to recline, and it was blocked by the man with the laptop, the man with the Knee Defender. Of course, a conflict ensued. A flight attendant was called. The man refused to remove his little contraption. The woman got so upset that she threw a glass of water in his face. Pretty unruly. You think we'd have trouble with terrorism abroad? What about terrorism in the air? In any case, the flight had to make an emergency stop in Chicago. The two offenders were forced to get out of the plane, and the rest of the passengers, grumbling, I'm sure, but laughing a bit as well, headed on their way to Denver. Who is right in the airline reclining wars? Is it the reclinee or is it the person reclined upon? This is one of those difficult conceptions that people have argued about for generations. You know, is there a God? Which religion is right? Democrat or Republican? Recliner or reclinee? Well, I ask you to join me in this conflict discussion. It's a little different from what we normally discuss, but I think it can be an interesting topic. 888-653-7543. Here's some things that I want to keep in mind, and I'm going to try to withhold my view till at least the middle of the conversation to give you each a chance to express yours. We all know the situation. We are in a very tiny spot, and the airlines are increasingly putting their seats closer and closer together to make it even more difficult for us to have any room to move. The difference now between seats is about 32 centimeters, I am told. That's a little over a foot. It's not that much room for your knees. And of course, tall passengers are at a distinct disadvantage when sitting on an airplane, as are those of us who like to use laptops. In fact, Spirit Air, the cheapest of the airlines, has restricted it to 28 centimeters, which is about 11 inches, but they don't allow their seats to recline, so that's their compromise. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, actually does not take a position on seat reclining. They say that when the plane is taking off or landing, you have to keep your seat belts up. You may remember your flight attendant saying that as you board the plane. keep your but reclining is generally allowed in between by most airlines. Indeed, most airlines frown upon devices such as the knee defender. United hadn't specifically banned it, they just frowned upon it. And of course, this conflict ensued. So in evaluating this very, very difficult diplomatic question, we have to ask ourselves, one, are the airlines wrong for cramming us into the seats? After all, we do want cheaper airline prices, and the more people they put on the plane, the less room we get. But they are making a lot of money off these flights, and I don't see any great savings in airlines in the past few years. Maybe they're just cramming us in and taking the excess profits. And then there's the question of whether you should be able to pay extra for more room. Interestingly, both man and woman in 11B and 10B had paid for United's Economy Plus, had paid some $39 for each of them to have more leg room, up to 5 inches more leg room, and still the conflict ensued. Me, I'm too cheap to pay $40 extra to have a little bit more leg room, but then again, I'm 5'8" tall. My driver's license says 5'9". I think when I was 16, I still had high hopes, but I think like most guys under 6 feet, I add an inch. But as someone who is pretty much of average height, a little shorter, I guess, than the average American male who stands at 5'9½", but taller than the average American who, with men and women put together, stands at about 5'6", I probably am the one that the seats are made for. So for me, I look on this mostly with amusement. But I am aware of the problems of other differently sized people, such as it is. I have a boyfriend who's 6'5", and he's got to cram into these seats. I have also seen heavyset people. They get crammed in there. And frankly, if you're in a seat and someone's girth spills over into your area, I think that's a problem as well. A few years ago, you may remember Southwest Airlines started charging people of a certain girth on full flights. If they took up 2 seats, they were charged with 2 seats, and there was a tremendous outcry. Is this discrimination? Is this fat discrimination? Well, maybe the ability to recline or not is tall discrimination. And as a average to somewhat short guy, I got to tell you, tall guys got it easy in America. They make more money than short guys do. There have been studies that show on dating websites, tall guys are much more likely. There was a study done where someone changed their profile and added 6 inches to their height and did a random study and got a lot more interest. So, hey, short guys got it tough in America. Tall guys can reach on top shelves. Maybe this is just the penalty for being tall to fit in these tight spots. I don't know. I'm not sure. I do think that people should follow the rules. And one person wrote on the New York Times that really this is a question of economics, that it doesn't matter whether you give the right to the recliner or the reclinee, but you should be able to pay to exchange rights. For example, right now, the right ostensibly is with the recliner. You have a right to recline. The woman should not have thrown water in the guy's face, to be sure. That was rude. But she was protecting her right to recline. And that is the right in most airlines. And if you don't want your laptop shoved up against you or your sandwich or whatever you're trying to do, well, then I guess you recline as well and so forth till the poor people in the back of the plane or in the exit row, the seat before the exit row, you get crushed most of all, right? Because you can't recline, and yet the person is reclining in front of you. That may not be the best solution. Maybe we should give the right to the reclinee. It's your space, and if someone wants to recline, they should be able to pay you for that privilege. Conversely, again, economics says it doesn't really matter where the rights are assigned. You can simply use money to exchange. If you have the right to recline and someone behind you doesn't want to recline because he or she is working on his or her laptop or has long legs, he or she could pay you not to recline. Or should we have special seats for tall people? Should they pay extra for them? Maybe out of that extra income that tall people get over short people, maybe there should be extra tall seats. Should there be seats for people of wider girth? Should those exist? And if so, should you pay extra for them? You see, these are very difficult questions. And it's nice in a world where we're busy worrying about terrorists murdering innocent people and worried about the economy and worried about guns and racism in Ferguson, it's nice to deal with a naughty question, but probably not one of great consequence. Anyway, I want to get your views on it, so call in. I don't care whether you support recliner or recliney, but call in. I want to know your views on this very controversial topic. This is Mark Levine. The toll-free number is 888-653-7543. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. Flying in America is difficult enough. You have to wait. Your flight is delayed. You sometimes are very, very long lines. You get there, and guess what? You got a middle seat. Maybe even a couple heavyset people on either side of you. You're pretty grumbly. There's a crying baby in the back, and the six-year-old kid behind you is kicking your chair. You try. You put your headphones on. You sit out your laptop. At least you could try to drown it all out. And then the woman in front of you leans her seat back, pushing that laptop right into your lap. Who is right in the airline wars? Is it the recliner or the reclinee? It's quite controversial. Let's find out. Let's start with Ann from Albuquerque on line five. Hey, Ann, who's right, recliner or reclinee?
Well, I have to say that, you know, people have always reclined their seats. I don't think they realize that there's less space now between your seat and the seat in front. And I try to be patient with that. The one situation that I will actually put my hand on the back of the seat in front to prevent it from being reclined is if it's a child.
Because a child doesn't need the room.
They really don't need the room. And so I just put my hand, and they try, and it doesn't work. And sometimes the mother turns around and looks at me, and I'm like, no.
And has that worked? Have you ever gotten in a big battle where mom says, let my 10-year-old recline?
No, actually, I haven't. But it's been a while since I've stopped a child. But, you know, the other thing, another way to get even, is if you're in that middle seat and you've got to go to the bathroom, and the seats in front of you are reclined, well, you've got to hold on to something.
That's true.
Which means you'll jiggle those seats when you get up to go to the bathroom, right?
That is certainly true. Plus, you've got to squeeze your way out somehow.
And then you've got to squeeze your way back in again.
Well, so that's true.
I think you just have to be kind of reasonable about it. But with less space, it does become more of a problem. And as I get older, standing up in a weirdly shaped space gets harder and harder.
Fair enough. Well, let's get someone else's view, but thank you, Anne, for yours.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Craig from California on line two. Craig, who's right, recliner or reclinee?
I'm going to go with the reclinee.
The person stuck in the behind the chair.
Exactly. Because, you know, you're talking about buying space. I'm kind of buying the space in front of me. You know, that's my space. But I travel a lot, and so it's kind of a where I have little pet peeves, like United is the worst.
United the worst? Because this is where the incident happened.
They make those business class, you know, sort of space, and they do give a little extra space, but I think they squeeze everything back. So, like, if you're not in that business class, then you have even less room way in the back. And I will tend to ask on United, if I'm flying a United flight, I tell the person, look, you know what, there's no room for you to recline. I mean, you're into my knees. I mean, even just naturally sitting, you're into my knees.
Are you a taller person?
What's that again?
Are you tall?
6'1". So
6'1".
I'm not, you know, terribly tall.
Do you think that a tall person has more rights in the reclinee position than a shorter person? The woman before you said if there's a child, they have no right to recline.
I agree with that. And I also, one of the things that annoys me when I see people recline, because sometimes it's not a problem for me. If I'm on a flight, it's not a big deal. But they end up reclining, and then they lean forward because they're doing something. So I'm like, okay, you're not even utilizing the leaning.
The 6 inches of space you took from me, you're not even using it.
Right. So you're leaning back, and then you lean forward. It's like, okay, why are you even reclined? So That I'll tend to ask, but then if I'm kind of really not happy, like if they say, well, no, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not going to, you know, bring the seat back forward. I'm like, okay, I'm the person behind you, and I can make your life miserable on this flight too. So,
well, have you ever put your knees up on the chair in front of you? I've done that sometimes.
I have done that. I have got. On one United flight, this guy, I asked him to do it, and he wouldn't. I said, okay, if that's the game we're going to play, my knees are hitting, and I wasn't even making an effort to do it. I mean, just kind of naturally moving around. I was pushing his. I was like the 6-year-old kid, unfortunately, just kind of knocking the seat around. And eventually, he kind of got the clue and brought the seat forward. And guess what? I wasn't hitting his seat anymore.
Now, do you think airlines should just simply prevent these chairs from going back? They can do that. They can stop that. The chairs in front of the exit rows, those don't go back.
Right. Me personally, I'm 6'1". I never recline. I am of the thought you don't recline. I just don't recline. I do not even if I'm being reclined into, I tend to not recline.
Really? See, I have to admit, I kind of take revenge. If the person in front of me reclines into me, I am more inclined to recline to the person behind me. It's kind of like, I guess, when older brother picks on middle brother, then middle brother takes it out on little brother. It's not really fair, but it feels just in some karmic way.
No, you're right. It's there. But I think there really are two schools. I mean, there's like a really hard, fast kind of school of you either recline or you don't recline. And I take the tack of, all right, even if somebody's going to kind of recline into me, then I will end it.
You'll be the
recline.
Better person. You'll end
exactly.
The violence.
Exactly.
Stop the violence.
Those are my 2 cents.
Fair enough. Thank you, Craig, for your 2 cents. We've got lots of calls on this issue, and I want to hear from everybody. But remember, does it matter that the airlines themselves have basically said you have a right to recline? Only Spirit Airways and one other small airlines that really give you very tiny space, this 28 centimeters I'm talking about, 9 inches, only they actually refuse the right. Does it matter that the person in front, apparently, according to airline rules, has the right to recline? And would you pay somebody not to recline in front of you? This guy paid for the knee defender. It's this device. It's like $29, all right? He bought for $30 the right to recline. Would you or he, should he have instead of paid the woman in front, I don't know, $10 not to recline? Is this something we can resolve economically through the free market system? I want to get all your views. We're running out of time, but we'll be back in just 4 minutes. 888-653-7543. Who is right in the airline recliner wars, the recliner or the reclinee? This is Mark Levine. Back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. Who is right in the airline recliner wars, the recliner or the reclinee? We've all been there. If you've flown, and if you fly first class, I don't want to hear from you. You're not welcome to call in. I don't want any first class flyers here. We're talking about ordinary people, those of us who fly in coach, who get stuck in the middle seat, and the person reclines into you. You know how it is. Now, I want to know, maybe they have that right. I mean, the airlines give them that right. There's an article in the New York Times by Josh Barrow that you can read where he says, look, I have a right to recline. If you don't want me to exercise that right to recline, you ought to pay me. That's how economics is supposed to work. Is that how we should deal with this situation? I got to tell you, we had a bunch of callers on the line. We had Mike and Steve and Norm. Y'all went away. Come on back, folks. 888-653-7543. I want to know your view on this very important issue. Mark Grimaldi, I know, is 6'5". He is the producer here at the Leslie Marshall Show. Mark, you must have your own airline stories to tell.
When the last caller was talking about having his knees forward so the person couldn't recline, I have to admit I've done that before.
So you have your own knee defender. It's your knees.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need the contraption. You just use your knees to do that. Have you had people turn around, look at you, complain, anything like that?
They like kind of don't know like what's going on because I know it's – I like have my knees up so I know it's coming. So I literally did it so firmly that they don't even get like a little bit of a oomph backwards.
Oh, so they think their seat's stuck.
Yeah, so because it's just so uncomfortable for me because I also have back problems. So if I have to sit up straighter, then it like – causes a pain to shoot up my buttock and like my low back.
See, now, but so. you have real physical reasons not it's to true. Have it's to have true. The seat recline into you. This isn't just a spat between
yeah,
two people
like
who
I
want a few inches.
I specifically have to pick seats on like the left side of the plane with my right leg in the aisle because of the way my back pain is. Like, so there are some people who I would think it would be like a physical problem for, but I also get the I get it. Why people, you know, get uncomfortable when other people recline back on them. And I honestly don't think you should be able to. I just think it's such a small amount of space for the person who's actually getting the reclining, and you're taking away the space from the, like, think about it. Okay, they have their space and you have your space. Who's doing the action? They are when they're reclining into your space. And there's really nothing you can do about it except you recline back. But that doesn't give you leg room. That gives you, I don't know, upper torso room, and then you're doing it to the person behind you. It's kind of like a domino.
Would you ban that? Would you construct seats, or would you support an airline basically
Absolutely.
Having seats that don't recline?
Either
back?
That or make more room so that if the person does recline back, then it doesn't affect the person behind them.
Yeah, but you make more room, that's going to cost
more
your tickets to cost
yeah,
more,
I
right?
Know. So I would. That's why I would say if that was that or to ban it, I would ban it.
All right. 888-653-7543. I want to get your views on the great airline recliner wars. We had a bunch of callers that ran away. So there's. I really like to hear your stories about what to do on the airlines. One of the things I've noticed is, and feel free to talk about this as well, is when the person next to you, and they can't help it, and I don't want to be accused of being, I don't know, sizist, or I don't even know what you call it, different bodyist, but when the person behind you, and it may not be their fault, because I think there's a lot of, frankly, unfortunate discrimination against people of a certain girth, but sometimes maybe it is. In any case, you've got people whose body goes into you. And what can you do about that? Mike from Madison is back on line four. Thank you, Mike, for calling back. What's your view on the great recliner wars?
Well, since I haven't flown since the mid-80s after a really harrowing flight, everything I say is probably right. Because I don't fly, I'm neutral on this. But
okay.
The recliner, obviously, is in the right now. There's a number of things that could alleviate this problem. They've talked about cash, things like that. But as they're doing the tickets, you could find out the people's size and weight and things like that and set some options on where you might seat those people, either in the front where no one can recline back onto them. But I think everybody should carry enough cash with them so they could pay the person to the right.
So you like the economic option?
Switch with them, and hey, why not? I mean,
pay someone to recline to not to recline. You know, here's $10 if you don't recline, and everyone's happy.
Sure, and you can move right, left. I mean, you can play musical chairs up there. But I will say this: being a person who has to drive all the time, and because of the situations I see every day on the highway. Can I just say that the passengers that were involved in this, especially the one guy, I'm sorry, but I'm so glad you're not driving on the roads I'm on.
They may be now. They may have to drive from Chicago to Denver at this point. They're both really petty, which is one of the reasons why I guess I like this discussion, because I think it I don't know, it's a far cry from racism in Ferguson or terrorism in the Middle East. This is just a pleasant topic. But Mike, now you actually would then have separate seats. You'd have certain tall person seats, say, and you got to be over 6'3 to sit in those. And you've got certain heavy person seats, and you got to be more than 250 pounds to sit in those, and maybe pay extra for that privilege. Would you do that?
I think that's probably the best way to do this.
All right.
I
mean, we got tall seats and heavy seats.
Yeah, a person buys a larger car because they need a larger seat to sit in. But,
so buy a larger airplane seat. Go ahead.
I can put a political tone on this as well. I actually think I know how the two people that were involved vote.
You think the guy's a Republican and the woman's a Democrat?
I absolutely do. And the guy, funny that a former legislator, at least a legislator staffer, I saw him on MSNBC, the guy who invented this, and I'm pretty sure he's conservative.
That's interesting. The conservative says, damn it, you know, get out of my space. I don't care what you think your rights are. The woman says, I have these. We don't know. We really don't know. But it's an interesting supposition. Thank you, Mike, for your call. I appreciate it. Norm from Santa Fe has called back on line 5. Thanks for calling back, Norm. Who's right, recliner or reclinee?
Oh, man, they're both wrong.
They're both wrong. Throw them both off the plane.
Of course. I mean, you're there with other people. Show some consideration, you know? I mean, what kind of misbehavior actually took place that justified bringing the plane down and delaying everyone and making them miss their connections and everything else?
Well, here's the misbehavior. Guy in 11B puts up this plastic thing that prevents a woman in 10B from leaning back. She complains to the flight attendant. Flight attendant asks him to remove the device. He refuses, which I think is actually a real problem because you should never refuse a reasonable request from a flight attendant. But then she goes off and throws water in his face, which clearly is wrong as well. And so, yeah, I don't have much sympathy for either one of them. And then you think about all the other passengers who are delayed on their flight to Denver for a couple hours because of these two jerks. So, yeah,
right, there's that. What else happened? I mean, would they really bring a plane down because of a cup of water? Or at that point, were they both on their feet yelling and losing their mind?
I don't know. I just know what I've read about it on the internet. I wasn't there. What I really want, though, is some passenger, you know this must have happened, should have taken out their phone. You could do it in airplane mode and taken a nice video of it. That would have gone viral so fast. I would have loved to have seen that. Grown adults acting badly, it amuses me. What can I say?
And if we could just take this opportunity to say, could we all just feel nice?
Can we all get along?
When I know I'm going to fly, I bring lollipops in case there's a little kid who's crying and whose parent is
exhausted
to the point of not even stopping. Of course, it helps their ears pop and, you know, adjust to it.
Yeah, but Norm, some parents are going to get mad at you for giving sugar to their children. And they've taught their children not to take candy from strangers. So I don't think you can win.
No, you can talk. I know you're playing devil's advocate, but the truth is, you can help a lot of people on any flight. You know, when I've ridden buses too, and I've traveled all over the world. And if your idea of travel is you're in your own world, and anybody encroaches, you're going to be upset with them. So that's no way to travel. I mean, we are so spoiled. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of it is just being polite.
When we used to travel on buses from state to state when I was in sports and college, you know how we would sleep on 12-hour bus trips? We would tie our feet to the luggage rack above our heads with our shoelaces so that we could lie with our backs flat on the seat and our head hanging in the aisle just so we'd be rested for the game the next day.
I'm not quite sure how that works, but I believe you.
Your legs and your butt and everything would be completely numb when you finally woke up when you got to the other school.
I'm sure.
And
I'm
never mind traveling on a bus in Mexico. So I don't know what people are thinking when they're on a plane, but it's too bad they leave their humanity.
Yeah, I think people just need to be polite. You know, you'd be amazed how much you get accomplished with a smile. I'm someone who is known to sometimes be late. Mark Romali knows this because sometimes I'm barely getting here in time. But if I'm running to catch a plane and there's a long line and I know I'll miss my plane, but the security line, I will go to the people in the front of the line and say, hey, my flight's in 20 minutes, so, you know, will you let me on? And they almost always do. And conversely, if someone comes to me and says, hey, my flight's in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, can you let me in front of you? I'd let them in front of me. So sometimes just a little bit of human grace and understanding goes a long way. So thank you for your call, Norm. I agree with you. Let's go to Jim in Madison on line 1. Jim, who's right, recliner or reclinee?
I don't think I want to touch that, but I want to put a little fuel on the fire, possibly.
Oh, go right ahead. Pour your gasoline.
Well, first comment, I believe the airlines have jacked their rates up considerably over the last several years, right?
True. That is true.
Second thing they've done, they've shrunk the amount of space that you're paying for.
Also true. Although they sometimes, like this United flight, ironically did allow you to pay extra for the privilege of more legroom, and both man in 11B and woman in 10B paid the $39 extra to get 5 more inches of legroom, and they still had this fight. So, but go ahead, make your point.
So the bottom line is that the real person, the real perpetrator of this is the airline.
Well, that's true. So what would you do? Would you regulate it?
I left holding the bag again. So.
Would you regulate it? Would you have the FAA require a certain amount of legroom?
Oh, my God. That's regulations.
Well, how would you deal with it? Yeah, I mean, you can't say you can't say the airlines are bad. Would you? I don't know. You could fly the airline that says you have more legroom, or maybe do what they do on United. You would think United was doing the right thing. They said you could pay extra for more legroom. That's the free market solution, but it didn't work in this case.
I think that is a free market solution, and despite the fact the airlines have cut a number of flights to get more people on less planes to make more money, I can understand their side of the argument.
So you gotta take a position, Jim. The airlines are wrong or right, recliner, reclinee. Do we make a regulation? If you were in the government, would you regulate this? How would you deal with the situation, Jim? All on you now. You're the FAA.
Having been in a situation where I'm sitting there minding my own business, all of a sudden, bam, a seat to my face. If the person in front of me would at least say, excuse me, but I'm going to put my seat back. And, you know, showing
that would be nice.
Consideration could
I agree with
way,
that.
Probably.
And not only that, but when you do move your seat back, folks, at least move it back slowly. Don't go bam, so you're going to spill their coffee in their lap or their laptop
right,
or whatever.
Right.
At least if you're going to move your seat back, very slowly. And I think it'd be nice. He'd say, excuse me, is it okay if I move my seat back? I think actually that would go a long way. I think maybe even the guy with the knee defender, would if the woman had said, excuse me, can I move my seat back? And he'd say, you know what, I'm working on my laptop. I'd prefer that you didn't. But if someone said that to me and I weren't using the lap, you know, the seat rest, the laptop, what do you call those things? Seat back. Chair, table.
Seat tray.
Whatever you call it. If I weren't using it, I'd say, sure, go right ahead, and thank you for asking. So I think actually that is the right answer, Jim. Just simply ask the person behind you,
absolutely,
do you mind if I move my seat back?
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate
thank
your call.
You.
888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. We've dealt with all kinds of difficult topics on this show. The airline recliner wars. You know, there's something that bad. That's a problem. If you're in a tight spot, it's an awful problem. Maybe we should have seats for tall people and fat people. Oh, heavyweight people. I shouldn't say that. Am I being fattest or tallest?
Just say obese.
Obese. That doesn't sound nice either. People of larger girth. I think we should say that. This is Mark Levine, 888-653-7543. Let me know your thoughts. Back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. We've dealt with some really difficult, knotty situations. How to resolve conflicts in the Middle East. Who to support there when everyone seems to be killing each other. What to do about immigration or the economy or the stimulus package or civil rights questions or racism in Ferguson, police violence. And now, I don't know, is it the most knotty question of all? Recliner or reclinee? Airline wars. What is the proper way of dealing with your fellow passenger? Sherry from Madison on line 4, welcome to the show. Recliner or reclinee? Whose side are you on?
I am a recliner, Mark.
Oh, you're a recliner. Good, we haven't heard any recliners. Go for it.
Well, I try to be a considerate traveler, but I do have an issue. I have a deformity in my back. I have a hunchback.
So
and
you
I
also have a medical issue.
I can't sit with the seat forward, and, you know, I can recline it, a half inch, and it's not much, but, you know, it's the difference between a lot of pain and not as much pain.
Well, see, that makes sense. See, now you, Mark has an issue because he's got a back problem, and he's very
mm-hmm.
tall, and you have an issue. So really, what if you and Mark are on a flight together, the two of you should just switch seats, and that would solve the problem.
I think communication is big, though. You're right.
If a woman in front of you, Mark, said, you know, I've got a back problem myself and it causes me pain when I sit up straight, you'd probably be more inclined to have a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. I would try to accommodate it. Absolutely.
Right.
I think when you understand what's going on, it's different than all of a sudden you're doing something and all of a sudden the seat just drops back right on top of you. And you're
I actually think we've come to a solution here. I think we could take on the Middle East next. The solution is communication. Communication.
Right.
Simply say to the person behind you, I'm sorry, I have a back issue. It causes me pain to sit up straight. Do you mind if I recline? If someone told me that, you know what, I would take my laptop off. I'd put it in my lap and I'd feel good about it. I'd actually feel good. I'm helping out my fellow human being. Not only would I not resent it, but I'd actually positively welcome your reclining if you were in front of me, Sherry. So I think that's...
Right. And from now on, actually, I will. I haven't ever asked anybody about it in the past, but from now on, in the future, actually, I will mention it.
You should. I think that's the right answer. Simply say, do you mind if I recline? I have a back issue that where I'm in pain if I don't. So I think that's the solution. Thank you, Sherry, for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Nate from Mesa on line 5. Hey, Nate, how are you?
Pretty good.
Recliner or reclinee? Who's right?
I hate the airline, so I hate them all. what if the person that was trying to recline had brought along something called a recline defender and installed the seat reclining before the guy to even sit down? How much reconfiguration of the airline seats are you going to allow the passengers to do? It's actually a safety issue when you consider that.
Soon the guy in the back is going to be shooting little missiles over the top, you know, probably throwing paper. You know, soon we have a full-scale war here between the two passengers.
And like I said, it's a safety issue. You know, if they're going to lock these seats down, then that means that if there's an emergency, you can't clear the plane. Now, I told the screener that I was on a plane before that they were putting us on a standby, so the plane was already taxiing out the runway when we were walking down the aisle to get seated, right?
Wow.
I can't find my seat, and the stewardess points and then looks away sheepishly. There's a 400-pound guy in a seat that he's already raised the armrest and staked out his stuff, and for 4 hours I had this guy all over me, and I'm sorry to say, but he really stank.
Oh, when
I got off the plane, I asked the stewards about the safety issues, and she said, oh, yeah, we're instructed to look for this because if we have to clear the plane, we know that that aisle will not be available to us. And she was also monitoring the strut on the seat because as they were hitting the runway, it was vibrating. And the real insult of this was I later found out that plane, it was a TWA flight, I can say that, that plane was carrying 6 deadheaders. These are 6 airline employees that were flying for free.
Oh,
and
no. So you could put them against the heavyset passenger. Absolutely.
Well,
I got to say goodbye to you, Nate, because I got 2 more calls. I'm going to try to slip them in. I only got about a minute left. Jeff from Phoenix, real quick, recliner or reclinee?
Yeah, it's like there was no science inventing these seats for the airlines. What the heck thinks that when they get on the plane that I'm not going to be able to recline because they're because of their legs? And when you recline the chair, it doesn't spill coffee behind the person behind them or their laptop. This thing is scientifically tested.
So you say just don't allow reclining at all.
Yeah, listen, these chairs have been scientifically tested before they install them in airlines to make sure that hot coffee or food could not be spilled on the person.
Oh, you don't think it's – oh, no, I don't know. I've had a laptop. I've had mine go down. But thank you, Jeff. I'm going to go real quick to Bill from Massachusetts on line 4. You only got about 20 seconds, Bill. Recliner or reclinee?
Great. Easy, quick answer. I think the airlines should be regulated. I think the whole idea that people are confined in ways that make them uncomfortable consistently – is, you know, especially since we're talking about mostly middle-class people traveling whose cars are big enough and whose trains are big enough and whose houses are big enough.
Right, so just use regulation. There you go.
That's the problem.
Let's give us all a little more room to breathe. Thank you, everyone. This is a great topic. I really enjoyed it. And I actually think we came up with an answer. Simply communicate to the person behind you, hey, do you mind?